WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. British police are investigating a car plowing into pedestrians at a big soccer victory parade in Liverpool in past hours. Several people injured. Police saying a 53-year-old white British man from the Liverpool area has been arrested. The FBI's reopening are getting more resources for three cases. The January 6th pipe bomber who targeted Republican and Democratic offices in Washington. The cocaine found at the White House 4th of July weekend 2023. And the leaked Supreme Court opinion overturning Roe v. Wade. Memorial Day storm threat. ABC News forecaster Danny Beckstrom.
We're especially concerned about Central Texas. Level 3 out of 5 threat for severe weather today. We're talking strong storms that are capable of producing hail that can cause damage, wind that can cause damage, tornadoes, and we're looking at the threat for flooding because this is several days now with heavy rain in the same area.
President Trump delaying tariffs on the European Union after a call with the trading bloc's leader to allow more negotiations. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. New rules governing name, image, and likeness opportunities are now in place for high school athletes in Wisconsin. The state was one of the last to approve NIL rules for high school athletes, but the WIAA made the changes at their April meeting. The new NIL rules come with additional requirements to maintain amateur eligibility than NCAA athletes and even high school athletes in other states. Those changes include not allowing students to wear school logos in NIL appearances or banning them from endorsing products that are not age-appropriate. Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials say the proposed cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program could cost residents as much as $314 million each year. The cuts were included in the budget bill passed by the House of Representatives last week and will now head to the Senate for consideration. A DHS report estimated that around 90,000 residents could lose their current SNAP benefits under the cuts. The cuts would also force the state to pay a portion of the program costs based on its payment error rate. Charges against a Ladysmith man accused of conspiracy to commit homicide have been refiled in Rusk County Circuit Court weeks after being dismissed. 66-year-old Malcolm Young is currently in prison on unrelated convictions for stalking and bail jumping. He was accused of offering to pay another inmate to commit homicide in October. The criminal complaint also contains allegations that Young made detailed plans for armed robbery and threats of retaliation. He's scheduled to appear in Rusk County Court on the newly refiled charges in June. The Shell Lake City Council received a report on the room tax at their last meeting, showing another successful year of additional tourism revenue. The Washburn County Tourism Association says the tax brought in about $14,000 in 2023, and they're expecting strong numbers from 2024 as well. The room tax is added to visitors staying at hotels and licensed short-term rental properties in the county. 70% of the tax revenue goes back into tourism promotion efforts, and the remaining 30% goes to individual municipalities. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The crew returns home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers back home to host the Boston Red Sox this week in a 3-game series. Yesterday, the Brewers came back to win 6-5 over the Pirates at PNC Park. But the highlight of the game was Pittsburgh slugger O'Neill Cruz, 6'7", 215 pounds, who hit a solo home run that left the park and landed in the Allegheny River on the Pirates Sportsnet channel.
Drive to right field. If it's fair, it's gone. And it is gone. There's a Cruz missile. Wow. That got out of here in no time. A bomb. 122.9 miles an hour.
The fastest since they've been keeping that record, Pat Murphy after the win.
The Pirates are playing as good a baseball as they've played all year. The one kid is a monster right now. I mean, really, literally, like take over the game type guy. Who does that? That's ridiculous.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to the low 70s for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, becoming mostly cloudy, will drop down to 52. Tomorrow, cloudy with an isolated shower or thundershower and a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, author Laura Bird talks about some of the upcoming books for your summer reading list and how she finds out about those new books that are being released.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Glad to have you along on this Memorial Day, our special pre-recorded show. We're not here in the studio live, but we are doing it just a couple of days ahead of time to give our staff and everybody a chance to be with family. And as we said in hour number two or hour number one, Zommers, that nothing wrong with going out and having a cookout and celebrating with friends and family, kind of the kickoff of summer. But I hope people also take a moment on this Memorial Day to realize the solemnness of it and why we have Memorial Day. It's to the thrust of this is to remember our dead, those who died, particularly our military service people who died in action. And it is one day out of 365 that we set aside, the only day, to say we are going to honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. And I think we need to remember that on this day.
Yeah. And I think at your cookouts, at your time spent with family, I think it's a good idea to introduce the idea to your family and friends that you could have a moment of silence. Doesn't have to be long, just to remind everybody what the day is about.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if you're listening to this and so I know a lot of the Memorial Day celebrations are done in the morning on Memorial Day. So by this time in the afternoon, they might be done. But, you know, nothing wrong with going to most cemeteries have like a little Memorial Day monument. And maybe you want to visit that. But at least take that moment to remember or listen to our second hour here. We're going to have Kira Sabin, our life psychology positivity coach, coming up in this hour talking about dealing with coping. And we've been doing this all month in our month-long series on Mental Health Awareness Month here in May. And Kira's going to be here today, and then she's wrapping up the series tomorrow on the program when we're back live. And about a week ago, unfortunately, we had this tragedy at UW-Platteville where two students were killed or found dead in one of the residence halls there. Lots of questions still unanswered as to why this happened, but these two individuals happen to be young women, both of whom who were either graduating or close to graduating with psychology and education degrees, respectively, seemingly had the world, you know, on their string. And for whatever reason, whatever happened in that dorm room that day, they both ended up dead. And I think it just proves once again that none of us know what each other is dealing with, the people that we encounter. And certainly on this Memorial Day, we've talked about this on this show before, but the death rate, death by suicide of veterans in this country is way, way, way too high. One is too many, but the rate is going up. The rate of death by suicide for teenagers. And a lot of people are visiting cemeteries today and remembering those folks. So we're going to give you a little bit of what coping is, how to what are negative ways to cope with situations like this, what are positive ways. And then we're going to wrap this up tomorrow with more on what we could do to handle our coping mechanisms.
Right. It's emotional regulation is a tough thing. Being able to recognize what you're feeling, understand why, and how to deal with it. So luckily, we have an expert
right
to tell us about how to recognize our own emotions and deal with them healthily.
I know, right? It's always good to deal with things in a healthy way. So Kira's going to be here to talk about that. So that's going to wrap up our Memorial Day special here on this Memorial Day Monday. I thought it also might just take a few minutes once again this hour. We talked in the first hour that Memorial Day is used to be called Decoration Day. That's the way it was first started. It is not Veterans Day. That is what we have in November to remember everyone who served. But today, Memorial Day, is when we remember all who fell in the line of duty. And lots of different ways to celebrate Memorial Day in terms of getting together with friends and family. But going to a military grave site, helping put flags on graves, that's certainly one way to do it. If you fly a flag at home, then you can lower it to half staff on this Memorial Day as out of respect and honor to them. Attending parades, that sort of thing. Lots of people are doing that on this Memorial Day. As we said, it was originally called Decoration Day. The very first Decoration Day was celebrated on May 30th of 1868 as the future President James A. Garfield gave a remembrance speech to thousands of onlookers at Arlington National Cemetery. Over the years, the day began as it was referenced to Memorial Day. And for consistency's sake, it was nationally renamed Memorial Day back in 1971. In 1978, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Bill, which proclaimed that Memorial Day would be celebrated on the last Monday of each May and gave all federal employees the day off. But it wasn't named an official holiday until 1971, more than 100 years after the Civil War ended. So how about that? Also, one of the very first Memorial Day celebrations on record was held by newly freed enslaved people in Charleston, South Carolina. On May 1st, 1865, freed people gathered with members of the U.S. colonial troops to bury and honor fallen Union soldiers. A crowd of 10,000 people formed a parade outside of an old racetrack where they sang hymns and decorated graves. And there, that's where it became known as Decoration Day, because you go and decorate the graves. So that's where that part came from as well. So it was very much a religious service back when it first started, a memory of this, but also to honor our loved ones as well. The National Monument of Remembrance Act was signed by President Bill Clinton in 2000. That act tasks all Americans to observe a national moment of remembrance at 3 p.m. local time on the afternoon as a Memorial Day tradition. So that time now has just passed. So appropriate that we're talking about this in accordance to that act. You don't hear a lot about that was signed into law back in, signed into law by President Bill Clinton in 2000.
No, I am first hearing about this now, to my knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good to take a minute to remember that. As we said earlier, flags will be flown at half staff on Memorial Day until noon, but I know a lot of people do it all day long out of remembrance to those that fell. And you hear about the sale of poppies this time of year,
yes,
paper poppies. And poppies have long been used to remember fallen soldiers after the bright red flower began to bloom on World War I battlefields following the end of the war. Originally a symbol used to honor British soldiers who died in World War I, the flower also became a Memorial Day tradition in 1915 when a Georgia teacher and wartime volunteer penned the poem, "We Shall Keep the Faith." I believe you pronounce her name Monia or Mona Michael, as a part of the campaign to make poppies a national symbol of remembrance. So a lot of times you'll go into a store and there'll be a veteran sitting there or standing there selling paper poppies for a donation. I encourage people to put something in the jar, wear it on your coat or your shirt for the day or the week. Just again, the fact that we can tell our veterans we are not forgetting what you have done and certainly have not forgotten your comrades who fell in the line of duty for all of our freedoms.
Yeah, definitely something that when I was really little, I didn't totally understand the gravity of. But after spending more time volunteering and being able to work with some veterans at events like that or with Salvation Army, things like that, it means a lot more now. And I understand it better, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those are one of the things that we learned. I did, at least in high school. We used to have, did you guys have Memorial Day or Veterans Day services at all in your high school programs at Manitowoc?
I believe so. And I know in, I can't remember which grade, we do a big unit on, when we're doing American history, we have a day where we have some Vietnam vets, at least, you know, while they're all still around, come in and talk about that or other wars.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that in a way, I think the more that we hear from our veterans who served and saw things that most of us will never see or never want to see, but hopefully in some small way by hearing that, A, we'll respect those who did serve and what they went through and understand a little bit more, and in particular when it comes to mental health awareness situations, but also hopefully in a small way as well, it can maybe avoid future wars. Say, look, this is what happens. These are the ramifications. I don't mean this as a slight to your generation, Zombers, or younger people, but I do think there's some truth to video gaming has made death just, oh, you just reset it. You just hit redo. And I think it's not like that in war.
Yeah, I agree. It is a problem.
Real war is real death and real struggle, and those who saw it and those who come home deal with these things, oftentimes for a lifetime. So on this day, I think it's just important that we remember all of these folks, give them our support, give them our love, buy a poppy, say thank you for your service, and remember the families whose loved ones gave the ultimate sacrifice. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Kira Sabin, our positivity psychology coach, on ways to cope, not just with the death of a military loved one or the death in general, but also things that we might just day to day get depressed, get down, the struggles of the news, the struggles of our daily lives. How can we cope and feel better about ourselves? And how can we help those around us? Remember, if you or someone you love is struggling, pick up the phone and dial 988. 988 is the mental health prevention and mental health helpline. 988. It is free. You can text or call. Going to listen to a little John Philip Sousa. I think it's appropriate on this Memorial Day on the way out here for a couple of minutes. Enjoy some John Philip Sousa and Kira Sabin. On the other side is Memorial Day here on the Todd Allbell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Today we're looking at a principle called the Gingles test that federal courts use when determining whether a gerrymandered redistricting map is a violation of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. How that test is interpreted can determine whether minority voters can elect the candidate of their choice or their vote is diluted by an anti-voter state legislature. A group of black voters sued the North Carolina legislature in 1982, arguing their voting districts violated the Voting Rights Act by diluting their vote and keeping black North Carolinians from electing the candidate of their choice. Before it came to trial, Congress clarified the VRA to say intentional discrimination didn't need to be proved, just the effect of discrimination was enough to be a violation of Section 2. Thornburg versus Gingles created a three-part test for federal courts to use when considering whether a VRA violation had occurred. It stipulates the minority group is sufficiently large and geographically compact to constitute a majority in a single-member district. The minority group is politically cohesive, usually voting the same way, and the white majority votes sufficiently as a block, usually defeating the minority's preferred candidate. As shown in the recent overturning of Louisiana's new congressional map, the interpretation of geographically compact and politically cohesive still leaves wiggle room for discrimination. We have more on Gingles and the VRA at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for joining us on Memorial Day here on The Todd Allbaugh Show. Here's Todd's conversation with Kira Sabin on how to cope with difficult things in our lives.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. And we'll leave it there for now. This is not necessarily a fun part of the segment. We'll get into that maybe in hour number two. Glad to have you along. 22 past the hour of 2 o'clock here on a Tuesday, May 20th, 2025. Kira Sabin in with us. Kira, really appreciate you being here. And we look, we'll as we always try to do, you make us feel better. And I think we always will feel better every time you join us. But want to talk about this incident at UW-Platteville where two young women are dead. And again, a shout out to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I think this is important because good local reporting is so important. Kelly Meyerhofer, Sophie Carson, Madeline Heim, and David Clary all contributed to this story, which lays it out. And for those that didn't join us before, two young women identified as Kelsey Martin, 22 of Beloit, and Hallie Helms, 22 of Baraboo, are dead after an apparent shooting at Wilgus Hall at my alma mater of UW-Platteville. Kira, I don't want to delve too much into the speculation because we don't know what happened. All we know from the reporting from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and as you well know, you've talked about before, our public profiles that we create as individuals on our socials. So from LinkedIn and from Facebook and other things, we know that one of these individuals had just graduated, a psychology major, was an RA, a residence a hall director, had dealt with mental health issues on her floor and been a leader in that. The other one was going into education, listed, you know, educators as her role models. My point is, Kira Sabin, that outwardly, as we meet these individuals on the street, a person would think, well, there's two people, two young women, have it all together. They're doing great. They got good careers. They're helping other people. They're stable. They got nothing to worry about. And all we know is that there was a gunshot, and today both of these young women are dead. And I think for me, Kira, it's a very sad and tragic, but unfortunately good reminder, as you have said on the show, we never know the struggles that other people are fighting.
We don't. We have absolutely no idea. And I feel like in this day and age with social media and technology, it's even harder. It's harder to detect. It's harder to know when people are struggling. And everybody is in a level of comparison that we never were before for thousands of years. We wake up comparing ourselves to other people our age, other people we aspire to be. And it keeps us in a place of isolation. And it keeps us in a place of feeling like there's something wrong with us and everybody else has it together. And the biggest conversation around mental health is everybody has problems on some level at some point with mental health because of life, because of just life. And mostly because most of us, unless you're under the age of 10, didn't learn any coping skills that would be helpful, didn't learn really healthy mindsets, didn't learn anything to kind of get us through these times. So there are lots of different kinds of coping skills we're going to talk about today. Some of them are helpful. A lot of them are not. And where we put our time and energy, number one, is super, super important. But just giving ourselves and everybody else a break, that person who's grumpy at work, that barista that wasn't as happy, we don't know what anybody else is going through. And I feel like where the separation has really hurt us is we just assume everybody else is okay. And it's very clear we're not.
For those needing to talk with someone, even if you don't think you're quote unquote suicidal, I know that might not be the right term, but I think it's a term that people identify with, so that's why I'm going to use it. I mean, the people are like, you know, I'm not really suicidal. I'm not going to do self-harm. Doesn't matter. If you're just really stressed out and you're, like, unstable in your own, like, I do not feel okay, pick up your phone and either text or dial 988. 988. There is someone standing by 24 hours a day to talk with you and can get you help. I think in my haste, Kira, I forgot to introduce you. Your title, Positivity Psychology Coach. You can find Kira and all of her great information, all of her great workshops, which they are fantastic, at Thrive with Kira. That's Thrive with spelled out Kira, K-I-R-A. The only Kira I know. I love her to death. ThriveWithKira.com is where you can find all of this. And, of course, 988, the crisis helpline to call as well. Kira, we're going to be playing this as well on Memorial Day because I think it's really helpful. Memorial Day, we tend to think, oh, you know, it's Wisconsin Dells in the summer. But there are a lot of people who are trying to cope, not just people who lost loved ones in military service, which that's a real thing. But a lot of people who just lost loved ones. And I think that when we drive by the cemeteries this time of year, we tend to look at the flowers and forget about the people standing there who are trying to cope with this loss. That's another type of thing, other things we have to cope with, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you can do seemingly life really well, right? Like find your person and get a good job and yada yada. Life is still going to show up. You're still going to have, we have aging parents or we lose parents. Kind of you and I are at the age of that, Todd, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that I never thought I would be dealing with at a younger version of myself. You know, we are grieving friends. I have lost friends over the last 5-10 years from many different things, from car accidents to cancer. Like life will come. You'll lose jobs, maybe you completely unexpectedly. Your relationship may change or evolve. You might have kids and you're really struggling with them right now. All of these things are normal. And man, I will talk about my own struggles. I do on my podcast all the time with my clients because I want for us to know this is normal. What's not is our lack of empathy and compassion for ourselves and others right now.
Yeah.
That is what's not normal.
We're going to come back and talk about healthy coping skills with Kira Sabin, a positive psychology coach. You can find all of her work at thrivewithkira.com. It's the Todd Elwell Show for a Tuesday.
Stick around this Memorial Day. We are going to listen to more of Todd's conversation with life coach Kira Sabin.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Recently, the U.S. has been exporting large amounts of cheese, but that also has made it harder for traders to find fresh cheese. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and Matt Trainel, a dairy analyst with EverEgg, is here to explain why it's so hard for them to find the fresh cheese, as well as what these traders would like to see soon.
Physical traders out there are trying to fulfill some contracts, and they're having a little bit more difficulty finding maybe some of that fresh available cheese that's traded on a day-by-day basis on the CME Spot Dairy Index and auction. And so they've essentially been pushing this to try to get that product in the hands of their consumers. Now, as we continue to push higher and higher, as we start to maybe get a little bit closer to the world market, there's probably not maybe as much territory to make up.
Trainel says that the U.S. is hopeful and optimistic that we will catch up to the world market when it comes to cheese prices. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe, and we'll take a look at those closing markets right after this.
One of your biggest investments, season after season, is high-quality feed. But are you getting the most from it? If you aren't using a silage inoculant to preserve the quality and nutritional value of your high-quality silage, the answer is no. When you pair your high-quality silage with science-based, research-proven Silosolv brand products from Novo Nesis, not only are you supporting improved herd health and performance, but you know you're getting the maximum return on your feed investment. Talk to your local dealer about what sets Silosolv inoculants apart. Purchase your silage inoculant today.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Zimbrick Chevrolet, Dane County's number one volume Chevy dealer with over 70 new Chevy trucks to choose from. Zimbrick Chevrolet East Madison, Sun Prairie, and ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see how the markets look on the close this Friday. It looks like we're ending the week on a bit of a sour note as cash corn is down 3.5 cents at 459.5, with new crop corn down 2.5 at 415.75. Cash soybeans are down 7.25 at 1060.25, with new crop soybeans closing down 4.75 at 1050.5. July wheat contracts closed down 2 cents at 542.5. Class 3 milk is also seeing losses, with June contracts down 49 cents at 1934 hundredweight, and July contracts down 28 cents at 1967 hundredweight. 40-pound blocks saw a loss of 7.75 cents and is sitting at 187, and butter is up 5.75 at 242. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild tonight with lows in the mid-50s. Cloudy tomorrow with a few showers, even some thunder, highs to the mid-60s. Slight shower chance Wednesday, high upper 60s. Heat returns to the area for the rest of the upcoming week. Right now, it's 70 degrees.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, author Laura Bird talks about some of the upcoming books for your summer reading list and how she finds out about those new books that are being released.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Thanks for sticking with us here at the Todd Allball Show on your Memorial Day. Here's more of Todd's conversation with positive psychology coach Kira Sabin on how to deal with traumatic events in our lives.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. We have with us today Ms. Kira Sabin, longtime friend of mine, but more importantly for this program, a positive psychology coach. You can find all of her work at Thrive with Kira. Kira spelled K-I-R-A, thrivewithkira.com. She joins us via StreamYard from her home. Kira, we're talking about this tragedy that happened at UW Platteville yesterday. If you're listening to us live today, we're also going to replay this show on Memorial Day. So whether it's people dealing with sudden loss at Platteville and the surrounding communities, or whether it's on Memorial Day as people go to visit the graves of their loved ones, perhaps some for the first time since they lost them, or maybe it's just you're feeling down and you're like, you got the blahs. All of these things, we need skills with how to cope. And today you're going to start walking us through this. This is the second of a three-part series. We're going to finish it up next Tuesday.
Yep.
The day after Memorial Day. So,
Yeah, because there's just a lot of information here and a lot of conversation around it. And I want to make sure that we fully understand, or if anything, this just sparks a conversation for you to go learn some more on Google or talk to your therapist about it, or whatever it is. But today we're talking about coping skills, and you brought up some really important things with Memorial Day, this tragedy at UW Platteville. But really, coping skills are anything that we do consciously or unconsciously to manage our stress, our emotions, our discomfort on a day-to-day basis. So it's not just what we do when we maybe are grieving a loss, or have just had a major something happen. This is also what we do every single day to keep ourselves sane, kind, and like making sure that we're winning more than not at life, you know? And by winning, I just mean finding joy and finding happiness on a daily basis and connection.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into it. What are coping skills, both good and bad, and why do they matter?
They absolutely matter because what you do to calm yourself, what you do when you're struggling, it can either be helpful. What's something called completing the stress cycle, which I can come on another day and talk about for burnout. They can be things that are moving you forward or through that time or those emotions, or as so many of us have been taught to do, they are shoving them down. We are numbing out. We are pretending or avoiding that they even exist so that we just don't have to deal with them. And we watched our parents do that a lot. And when I say, you know, numbing out, I mean things like grabbing that old-fashioned Tony who left a message for us, right?
Tony on YouTube saying he copes by emotional regulation, he says, is code for an old-fashioned, right?
And here's the deal. I think that for people who have an okay relationship with alcohol, like having a really tough day and a drink is not a big deal. But when that becomes your only way you cope, or if that becomes the normal way you cope, and so that you're now waking up tired the next day, you're actually grumpier than you usually are, then it's not working for you, right? And a lot of times, a coping skill or strategy isn't a bad thing. It's just that we use one or two of them way too much. So there are healthy ones, things like meditation, things like going for a walk in nature. You know, it can be a lot of different things. Listening to a happy podcast that makes you laugh. Things that bring joy, things that help us feel things, because we love to think and think we can think our way through our feelings, and we can't. We have to feel our way through the feelings. And that happens not just through thinking, but through our body.
I went to a fireside chat last week, and Monte Ball, former Wisconsin Badger all-star running back, went to the NFL, and he's going to be on the show soon, and I'm looking forward to it because he talked about his journey at Wisconsin and beyond. And to your point, Kira, he said, once I got to Wisconsin and got this full-ride scholarship, I felt so much pressure because he's from St. Louis.
Yes.
And his family moved up here with him. And it was like, you're either going to make this, man, or everything's over. Like our family has moved here, and you're either going to make the NFL and be a star. That's the way he felt. Or it's all. And he said that pressure, and how, to your point, how to cope with that, he ended up turning to alcohol because it numbed this. He thought in his head it was helping him relax and cope with all that stress. And for him, he said in his journey, and all of ours are different, that was his mechanism to cope in a very unhealthy way that ended up just really having tragedy in his life until he has now been in recovery for several years and helping others.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super proud. My husband has been sober for almost 10 years, and watching him go through that journey has made me a better human, because it also had me look at how much I was relying on alcohol to virtually numb. And one of my goals in my 50s now is to create a life I don't have to escape from, you know, to create a daily existence that I can look at myself in the mirror and feel good about at the end of the day, knowing that I am showing up with integrity and giving back in ways that feel good. But you have to be able to have coping skills and mindsets to even get to that level of where we feel like giving back. I think like nobody wants to give back right now because we're all just trying to survive.
Totally.
And
agree.
I don't think our regular or our administration right now is helping us survive. Mm-hmm. If we think about it, our communities, our areas are doing better when people feel safe, when people feel like they have people they can lean on and talk to, when they have nowhere their food and their meals and everything is coming from. And right now, that's really unsafe. And we have an option to either kind of shut down, numb out, just ignore it or avoid or be grumpy in our houses online, or reach out, become part of the community, put our time and our values and our energy where they should be right now, which is helping others that we care about, you know, and reaching out. Because I'll tell you, this isolation, this loneliness, it's just making the struggle worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a number one indicator of long-term health and happiness, and it's community and relationships.
Really?
And the health of your community and relationships.
Do you think
not just a relationship?
Do you think it's why, not to interrupt, but do you think that's why countries like Denmark and Finland usually rank at the top of world happiness? Because they're riding bikes, they're in their community. It seems like, I mean, one of my friends is from Denmark. I haven't been there yet. He keeps asking me to come over, but I really want to. I may have to move there. No, I'm just kidding. But
Copenhagen is like my favorite place on earth, actually. Yeah, I love it.
You're a world traveler.
Yes, it is one of my favorite places.
So tell us, as someone who's been there, is it just that they are, I don't want to say forced into community more, but that's part of their culture? What is it?
To me, and it's not just, I think it's a lot of countries that are like this, that just basically give everybody a basic place to land, soft place to land. Like, if you get sick, it's okay. Like, come to the hospital, we will figure it out. Because sometimes people get sick, right? Sometimes people lose their jobs because of whatever, right? We allow people to make mistakes and fail and help them get back on their feet. That's what I think happens in European countries. I think that happens in Canada more. And those are why those are on the top 10 and we are not. Because we don't allow people to fail.
Zomers.
We don't allow people to...
Go ahead. We don't, go ahead,
Kara. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, finish up.
No, that's okay. But we don't allow people to move on and grow. So, and that's a major problem. And I'm told regularly that people only feel good about themselves if they think they're better than other people. And that's a really sad space to be in your head.
Zomers?
I think another thing about a lot of European countries that helps their mental and physical health be better is that a lot of their cities are older. And so they are designed to be walkable, where a lot of our cities are made around cars and not people. So for them, it's like, all right, I'm done with work. I'm going to walk over to the pub and hang out with some friends and then walk back home, as opposed to here where it's like, oh, I got to get ready and get gas in my car and drive across town for 30 minutes.
Kira, something to that?
I mean, without yelling the word capitalism here really loudly, try not to do that. Right. But I just think the focus is different. I think our focus is work and productivity, particularly here in the Midwest, right? Our job was told to how your worth is tied to your productivity, to how hard you work and how many hours you put in. And what we're seeing is a completely burned out society who is tired and struggling and has zero idea how to cope.
We're talking with Kira Stabman. She is a positive psychology coach. You can find all of her work at thrivewithkira.com, thrivewithkira.com. Talking about coping in this May, Mental Health Awareness Month. We're in our second of our three-part series, which we'll finish up on the Tuesday after Memorial Day. Kira, where did these coping skills come from? Is it the old, you know, well, okay, let's go back to your childhood? Is it the people we surround ourselves with? Where do these both positive and negative coping mechanisms come from?
Well, there's a very good chance that what you saw your parents come home and do every day after work is exactly what you go home and do every day after work. Whether that is crack open a beer, pour a glass of wine, you know, or go outside and exercise or go in nature. I mean, we kind of do what we saw, right? And that's super normal. That's what familiarity is, right? And we do a lot of what we saw our parents do. But we know whether our parents were happy or not. We know whether or not they were really thriving. And if that's not working anymore, or maybe it worked for them, but it doesn't work for you, you have to look at it and step back from it because it may be hurting more than helping at this point.
That's really interesting. I mean, I see both good and bad on this, my own life, you know. Our family likes to eat, I think, when we're anxious.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah, we do.
I need something to eat. But also, like, looking back after my parents divorced, my mom was a single mom, and we had basically no money, we would go outside a lot. Go to like state parks. It was like, you know, $18 for the whole year, other than the cost of gas. And so we would do a lot of hiking. And I think, honestly, in a positive way, I got that from my mom. Like, get
outside. That's amazing.
Get outside when you're down. But eat a bowl of popcorn, too, but also get outside.
No, and once again, most of those things aren't bad. But if we count on them all the time and they become our only coping mechanism, then they start hurting more than helping, right? And I love that Linda took you outside.
Yeah.
I wish she would have taken me with you guys a little bit more often.
Back in the day, she could whip my butt. She could outrun me up a hill at Devil's Lake. True.
I believe that.
I was like in middle school at the time. Yeah, she could outrun me.
Linda's awesome.
She is. She is awesome. Got about 2 minutes here before the break here, before we have to, we'll come back after it. Let's start dipping our toe into a little bit. Are all coping skills created equally?
They surely are not. Let's talk about things that help versus things that don't. So a healthy coping skill helps you feel, it helps you process, and it helps you regulate your emotions. And by regulate your emotions, I just mean so your emotions don't control you and how you react to things, you control them. Mm. And that's, I think, an ultimate goal for all of us, especially since we did not get that role model growing up, even in media. They also leave you feeling better, calmer, more grounded, clearer, and they support the long-term well-being, you know, even if they take effort. Where unhealthy coping skills, they avoid or suppress emotions. They feel good in the moment, but they might lead to more stress or shame later. And they often create disconnection. So they have found one of the biggest ways that we cope is just even hugs or, you know, being able to, the oxytocin, like being able to kick that in with being connected, having a great conversation, a hug, whatever it is, those are really, really great ways to feel in your body.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have time to get into it. Ask for permission, I guess, but I still believe in a hug, a human hug is worth a lot. I really do. All right, come on back. One of my favorite humans, Kira Stabman, more with how to cope in this Mental Health Awareness Month. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Thanks for sticking with us here at the Todd Allball Show on your Memorial Day. Here's more of Todd's conversation with positive psychology coach Kira Sabin on how to deal with traumatic events in our lives.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is coming up on 8 minutes before the hour. Glad to have you along here. Kira Sabin, our positivity psychology coach, is with us via StreamYard talking about coping, things we cope with that could be lost this time of year around the Memorial Day season when we're remembering people that were lost in duty from our military, our American heroes. It could be a grandparent, a spouse, a significant other, a friend who are visiting their grave, or it could just be we're coming home overwhelmed after work and we turn on the news only to be more overwhelmed. And we think, how are we going to cope with this? As Kira has told us already, there are healthy ways, getting outside, talking to people, listening to podcasts like hers, thrivewithkira.com, or there are unhealthy ways, which if you have a problem in a bad relationship with alcohol or other drugs and you go to that, and with alcohol you overindulge other things that are bad. Kira, let's get into a little bit of this with right before the break. Are all coping skills created equally? Obvious answer, no, they are not.
No, and I want to say that also the biggest thing about alcohol, because I don't like to say good or bad. I do say sometimes helpful and unhelpful, yeah. Right? Like some things are just not that helpful. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, anything that is shutting down our emotions, pushing them so we don't have to think about it or we don't have to feel, that's never going to be a long-term good idea. It's right. Just not. And we do that a lot of different ways, right? That also is our tiny little computer that we have in our hand that mm-hmm. we're on all day, every day. Right. So I saw a comedian recently who said who's our age, Todd, and he was saying how in the 80s, we were automatically mindful because we didn't have cell phones and you had to think about your stuff, right? You had to actually be present or in the moment. Where now we can avoid almost everything because of our phones. We're playing games, we're on social media, we're reading news, we're doing whatever, but it's all just a way to ignore or avoid what's going on in our lives and our feelings. So it doesn't matter if it even seems good, if it's something that is pushing down your emotions, ignoring or avoiding. Here's the deal. Your emotions are going to come out one way or another. There's something that they have found out through science, through psychology, that if our emotions are pushing down, sometimes they can now create illnesses. They can stay in our bodies. They are like, there's actually proof behind this or books written about it. Like if we don't teach ourselves how to feel, even the tough stuff, it'll come out through anger. It'll come out through abuse. It'll come out through addiction. It'll come out in other ways. So the smartest thing to do is start figuring out how to feel what you feel. And I'll tell you, the best way that I love to think about therapy or coaching or anything like that is everybody can use an outside perspective occasionally. Mm-hmm. We get so caught up in our heads and all of the things and all of our stories and all of our perspectives. Everybody can use somebody occasionally holding up a mirror and saying, whoa, are we sure that one makes total sense? Or could it also be this? Or could it be that, right? Just to really be able to clarify our lives, because we're living in a lot of stories and perspectives that are unhelpful. And a big one, I think, for particularly Midwesterners in our generations is pushing feelings down. Don't have them. Don't feel them. Don't talk about them. It's bad. And it's not helpful at all.
I think that's a really great reminder, and we're running out of time here. So, and we talked a little bit about this before, long time ago, actually. But I was going through something in my life, business wise and personal relationship wise, a few years ago. And I was fortunate enough to have Kira in my life and talk with her about this. And she gave me some really honest love, but like tough love. Like, why are you still you're allowing that person in your life? Like, grow a pair. And I don't
think I've ever said the words grow up here, but okay.
I mean, metaphorically. But I mean, that was really good. And I think the point is, whether they reach out to you at thrivewithkira.com, whether they have another professional in their life, or quite frankly, Kira, just an honest friend that is a degree of separation away who will give us some clarity, that's really healthy sometimes. Or always, maybe.
Always.
Yeah.
Right? Our thoughts and feelings should never always just be our own, right? Or they get stuck in there and it gets a little weird, right? It just gets a little weird when it's just us. And I can, you know, and I always know that I need to talk to more people when I'm like, oh, I'm just kind of seeing the world a little weird. I need to have some more conversations. But I wanted to say the other thing that we didn't mention is we overwork. So we can talk about alcohol. We can talk about eating. We can talk about doom scrolling on our phones. But we love to overwork in this culture and then call it, you know, busyness or productivity. And it's just another way to numb.
Right. And to avoid dealing with the real issues in our heads and our hearts.
And I think that a lot of people will be like, oh, I don't drink much. I don't eat, you know, overeat. I don't. But we like to work. And boy, when we are feeling overwhelmed, what do? We go back to what we can control, which is our work. But if it's not helping us feel, it's not helping us heal.
I like that. If it's not helping us feel, it's not helping us heal. Right? That's like Oprah good.
Okay, but I'm sure somebody else said it 1,000 different ways, right, and I'm just saying. But I appreciate if it resonates with somebody.
Yeah.
But if we're not feeling it, we're not healing it.
About a minute and 20 seconds left. Give us some homework for next Tuesday. We get together on coping.
So next week, I'm going to really talk hardcore about the two type of coping styles, because they're not everything is the same. And then more importantly, just the healthier ones and letting go of habits that aren't working as well and creating your own kind of what I call a coping skills toolbox. But until then, I would love people to just step back and go, what am I doing to cope? When I have a bad day, you know, what am I doing? Am I pouring a drink? Am I going online? Am I talking to my friend? Am I jumping back into work? You know, what am I doing? And does it feel good? And if not, like, let's talk about it. Let's get into it next week.
Yeah, we definitely will. And again, a reminder, if you are dealing with someone or something internally and you feel that you need help coping immediately, pick up the phone, call or dial 988-988 for the Mental Health Awareness Hotline. Kira Sabin, you're always fantastic. You can find her work at thrivewithkira.com.
Thank you.
All right, that's about all the time we have this Memorial Day. Stay safe out there, and as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Police at the scene of where a car plowed into pedestrians at a big soccer victory parade in Liverpool, England. Several people injured. Police saying a 53-year-old white British man from the Liverpool area has been arrested. Tens of thousands came out to celebrate the team winning the Premier League. Memorial Day's storm threats include, forecasters say, central Texas with a high-level threat of severe storms, hail, and maybe tornadoes. FlightAware and other trackers showing about 2,700 flight delays and counting today, some of them because of bad storms. President Trump announces he's delaying his tariffs on the European Union to July 9th after a call with the trading bloc's leader to allow more time for negotiations. President Trump has pardoned Scott Jenkins, former Virginia sheriff convicted last December of giving official Culpeper County Sheriff's Office badges to at least eight people who paid him bribes. This is ABC News.